Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Off the Post. I'm Russ Cohen. We've got Anthony Mangione. And how are you?
Russell, I'm doing good. How are you, sir?
Listen, tonight is curling night. And I got to tell you, I learned a few things. Never pick your nose on camera because the guy from Team USA did it at least three times. I don't understand what he's doing. I don't
deep
even
thought.
Understand what they're...
Deep thought.
Maybe.
It's deep thought.
but I just, you know, on this... As we're getting closer to the trading deadline, I was watching the intensity of curling night and thinking, boy, NBC is lucky they have hockey, because curling, I will never understand that activity. But whatever, I watched it for a couple of minutes and I giggled, and now we'll get on to...
We subtract
the C,
right?
What?
We subtract the C. We subtract the C from the front of it, and that's what you're doing.
Yeah. And so then we're going to get back to a real sport, and we'll talk some hockey now. We'll bring on Mike Augello from Hockey Buzz. Mike, how are you?
Good evening, gentlemen. For a lot of people, Christmas is December 25th. For hockey people, it is February 29th this year.
It's true. It's true. Before we get into the trading deadline, though, I did post something on Facebook that I do feel strongly about, but there's nothing you could really do about it. Ant will roll his eyes, but then he'll realize. So with the Leo Komarov suspension, he gets suspended for three games, and all that really does is help the Leafs tank further. It's an aggravating thing, Mike.
Well, I was thinking the opposite. What they could have done is forced the Leafs to play Komarov 25 minutes a night. That would have been the opposite, in fact. But yeah, but no, he's actually been one of their better players. So but to your point,
yeah.
Russ, I mean, they're 30th place. They want to be in 30th place. So him being out for three more games just means Colin Greening will get more ice time.
Colin Greening. Yes, that is how we are now fully into the tank here.
Yes, I mean that's it. You don't have to go any further. So the Flyers lose another shootout. That's pretty much standard operating procedure, right, Ant?
Pretty much. If it's a shootout, it's death, taxes, and Flyers losing the shootout.
it's unbelievable. I mean, the good thing for them is they do have the Leafs tomorrow, so they certainly have that bounce back ability in them. But it's getting a little late here, and as we talk about the deadline, I think they have to sell. I think they got to sell Mark Streit at the very least. What do you think?
Yeah, I concur with that. I think at this point, and the concern is, again, ever since the pubic bone displacement, every time we say it, we win. But it's more and more along here is that I'm beginning to really wonder in terms of, I don't think you can wait until next year. You know, a lot of people say, well, salary wise, if you wait, then you're going to, you know, he'll become a true rental for a team at that point. I'm like, yeah, but what will his value be at that point as a player for them if it continues to go? So if somebody comes in with an offer here of some kind for him, if I'm Ron Hextall, I'd have to seriously consider that as well. I mean, granted, he is a veteran voice. He is a guy that, you know, you can bounce, a young player can certainly bounce things off of. But again, he had a couple moments in this game where he was okay. But again, he looked okay. And that's if you're Hextall, I think that's one of the things you're kind of hoping for in terms of another NHL team. Again, he's going to be one of those guys, I think, that if he does get dealt, it's going to be, my read is it's going to be pretty close. Hextall probably hold him until, like, right towards the final clock, or final minutes are ticking down, and finally gets that last second offer in, and then potentially sends him off. There's a few other players I think the Flyers could be sending off as well. One guy, you know, certainly depth player wise, like a Ryan White, if a team comes in with like a fifth, sixth round pick offer, I think you do that and bring up Taylor Lehrer. You know, because he had some speed and some skill to the bottom six, and he's earned it this year. Lehrer's had a good year.
Oh yeah, he's had a real good year.
Beyond that, someone comes
Matt
in
Reed,
off
for
a
Matt Reed.
Matt Reed, yes, it's another one you got to catch. Yeah, because again, Lair is one of those guys you look at and you go, he's like a perfect replacement for like a Matt Reed in terms of
right.
lower. Again, it doesn't come down to the fact that Matt Reed's a bad player. It's just what I think the Flyers were hoping they were going to be getting out of him offensively. You're going to be able to get similar production out of Taylor Lair at
mm-hmm.
much less of a cost. So,
yeah,
I think if you're able to get something for Reed, I think you have to take an honest look at that. You know, Nick Schultz is a possibility here if somebody comes in needing, you know, some defensive depth. Although I think it's far more likely he probably stays put. But if someone comes in with an offer,
so.
I think you'd have to look
well,
at that as well.
Well, that's a key thing, though. And that's let's ask Mike this one because that's a key thing. As you say, well, unless somebody comes in with an offer. And this time of the year, Mike, we hear a lot of GM speak, and actually we heard a ton of it. There was so much of it in the NBA and very little happened, and we actually heard it coming out of Philly like, hey, you know, maybe Jahlil Okafor will get traded. We'll be listening for offers. And so now, of course, the hockey version of that is PK Subban and the fact that they might be listening for offers. That's like everybody listens for an offer, right? If you like just restored your 57 Chevy and you love it, but a guy gives you a ridiculous offer, like, you'll listen, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't believe any of the BS regarding Subban being moved or even them entertaining the offer or the possibility of him being moved. I mean, the circumstantial evidence is there in the sense that, you know, the money being paid to him goes up from $7 million to $11 million next year and his no-move clause kicks in on July 1st. But who cares? He's one of the best defensemen
mm-hmm.
in the league. And, you know, the funny thing is, I heard a TSN reporter this afternoon say that, you know, because of all the injuries that the Canadians had, you know, because of the excuses there, that Mark Bergevin may give Therrien a pass and keep him
crazy
next year. And, you know, if that's the mindset of Bergevin, I mean, I think he's risking, you know, getting thrown out with the bathwater along with Therrien. I mean, if he's going to hitch his wagon to him. I mean, I think one way or the other, that team's going to need to make a lot of changes in the summer, and PK Subban is not going to be one of them.
Man.
No, I agree with Mike. I would concur with that. If I was the shelter, I mean, if I was Mark Bergevin, I've never been a huge proponent of Michel Therrien. He's had success in the NHL, but he kind of gets to a certain point. And after a while, the message eventually just turns into an echo chamber, I think, and again, I'm not saying anybody in the locker room, but you just take a look at his past stops, Pittsburgh, and even before that, it's just, you see it after a while, and that's what the Canadians look like to me. And again, the injuries are certainly a part of it. It's a big thing. Not having Price is a big thing. But I agree. In terms of Bergevin hitching his wagon to Michel Therrien, it could potentially be a case where they both take themselves off the side of the cliff.
Yeah, he's a French-Canadian John Tortorella. That's what he is.
Yeah.
That's an accurate description. That's a really good way to put it. All right, so now we get further into the East, and it's just getting crazy, right? Because, like, the Rangers gave themselves a little bit of breathing room, and the Islanders are okay with the 69 points, and then with the two wild cards, you got Pittsburgh at 66, Tampa at 66, but then New Jersey's at 65, and Carolina's still hanging in there at 64. The interesting thing is, if Carolina does hang in there till the last minute, I guess, like that Eric Staal waving the no trade and everything else, Mike, probably will be like a really like an 11th hour thing. Like we might see him be one of those guys that we don't think gets traded, but then, you know, like a half hour after when the league starts going through all the reports, he's on there. It might be something
like
that.
Why do I see the Matt Sundin scenario unveiling itself in Carolina right here? I can't leave this team because we have a chance to make the playoffs, so I'm not going to waive my no-move clause. I mean, I think it would actually be the worst thing that could possibly happen to Carolina. I know that they want to make the playoffs, and they would love to get the playoff gate in Carolina, but you really have to move Staal and get assets for him, especially if there's no guarantee he's gonna stay there or sign an extension. So if they stay 1, 2, 3 points out of a playoff spot around February 29th, I don't think they're going to trade him, and I don't think he would waive his no move.
Ant, what do you think?
Yeah, we concur with that. If they're within striking distance, he's going to be very hesitant to do, I think he will be hesitant to do it. Carolina needs to, you know, slide a little bit here, I think, for him to make the move. His comments were interesting earlier about the fact, you know,
mm-hmm.
I think he said something. I'm trying to remember the exact quote, but it was sort of like, you know, he basically left it on the team to sort of decide.
Like,
yeah.
You know, we'll see how things play out, and it's like, well, wait a minute. He's really the one with the hammer. He acted like he didn't have the hammer. That's sort of like how it played out.
And it's a bit of a passive aggressive move in many ways on his part. But again, you know, they come off a game tonight. They play San Jose. They went 5-2 tonight, and again, they're on a pretty good run. So yeah, as the team captain still, and he's going to, you know, if they're within striking range, he's not going to want to go. It's not going to look good for him to say, I want out, when his team's within, you know, and that again goes to long-term things for him and how it would reflect on him as a player and as a captain, even if he stays in Carolina or moves on eventually. So yeah, I agree with Michael there. I think he will stay if he, get there within striking distance.
So the New York Rangers are really in a weird spot now, because now we've gone full circle. We went from the Darren Dreger report being total nonsense, where they can't trade Yandel because, you know, you have to worry about McDonough. Then McDonough came back, so then there's no worries. And then it's like, well, Dreger, what are you worried about? Now McDonough gets a cheap shot, and now he's out again with a head injury. And so now they might not be able to trade Keith Yandel. And, again, that to me is going to really kill them down the road, regardless of what they do this season. But, Mike, I came up with one other thing. I mean, moving Yandel aside, let's just say that'll be a last-minute decision. You know, I'm kind of thinking, you know, Michael Boddicker, he's out there, and the Rangers haven't been thrilled with Kreider or Hayes. You know, maybe you could move one of those guys. I mean, Arizona might not mind getting an RFA if they think they could sign him. And a UFA like Boddicker is not going to get, like, a huge contract. Maybe he gets, like, 4.5. I think he's making, like, 3.6 or something.
I think
you see something like that happening. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, from the indications that had been out there about what kind of contract he's looking for, they're saying 5.5 times 6 years. And, you know, honestly, I think Michael Boddicker is a pretty good player. I don't think he's that good.
He won't get
player,
that.
So. Yeah, I don't think so, not in this market. But, I mean, it's an interesting theory. I think the other interesting possibility is you keep Yandel, you sign Yandel to a contract, and you trade one of your existing defensemen like Staal or Girardi and get a return for them. And,
but their contract
is
so restrictive. That's the problem with that happening.
Right.
They have to agree to a lot.
Right. But the thing is that right now, I mean, look at the trade deadline landscape. If Yandel isn't traded, conceivably the best and most available defenseman on the trade market is Roman Polak. And that's pathetic. And I like Roman Polak.
Or Jake Gardner. I still think Jake Gardner could be in play. I do.
Babcock seems to like him. He seems to think that he's making progress. That could be all spin, like we've said about Phaneuf or Nazem Kadri. But I get the impression, especially since Gardner's under a contract for $4 million for another 3 years, that they're not anxious to move him unless they just get blown away.
Right. Which you never know. They might. Because if I'm a team and I do need a real puck mover, you know, I might just have to blow them away rather than taking Polak, who's really an okay puck mover and a better defender. So there is that. I mean, I think there's a chance anyhow. But you're right. I mean, Roman Polak's the guy. They're probably going to get a second and a third or something like that for him. And that'll be a pretty good return for the Leafs. But who else? Who else are we looking at, Mike? I mean, some of the other teams, like, here's an interesting one, right? We've got the Stadium Series game coming up over the weekend. Minnesota-Chicago. Like, Minnesota is, like, right on the edge there. So that's an important game. And even the one I'm going to a week later, the Colorado-Detroit, Colorado's right in there, and Detroit's barely in there. Like, these are really – these outdoor games, the late-season Stadium Series games, are really going to make a difference in the standings.
I don't know what Chuck Fletcher can do in Minnesota. I mean, he really has no flexibility. The only players that other teams seem to want are the young players like Granlund and Coyle and Niederreiter. And the ones that they probably want to move are the guys like Koivu, Vanek, and Pominville, who have either no trade or no move restrictions. So I think that was the whole reason why he finally fired Mike Yeo and brought in Torchetti. And Chicago is going to load up. You know that they're
right.
going to. They're going to trade their first-round pick. They're probably going to find somebody to take Brian Bickell. I keep thinking that Toronto might be a situation that would do that because they would take a prospect or a draft pick and bury the guy either in the minors or just
They don't have to bury him. I mean, they might be able to use Bickell. I mean,
right, they can put him on the wing
know.
With Colin Greening. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also possible. I think Chicago might also look at a player. Like, I mean, again, speaking of Toronto players, a guy like Parenteau might be someone that might interest the Blackhawks going in. And that could be a potential piece in play.
It could be. Now, the Blues are another team that are certainly going to be on the lookout. And, boy, the Sharks are in a tough spot, too. The last thing about Fletcher, though, you know, the one thing that would have given him flexibility, but because of the contract, age, and injury, you can't do anything with Nick Backstrom. You can't even LTIR him.
Yeah, it's a bad situation. I mean, again,
he has to keep him active, from what I understand. And
right, I mean, he's healthy, but he hasn't played one game this year. And you know, conceivably they could trade him if he would waive. I think he has a no trade.
If he would waive, he might not even do that.
Well, I mean. You know, it's like I don't think he's going to be able to continue his NHL career with Minnesota based on what's happened this year. They played Kemper and Dubnyk every game, so I wouldn't see why what purpose there would be to not waive and maybe get a chance someplace else.
That's a fair point. So what about San Jose? Is there any Hail Mary for them? Because this is probably it for them. Like, after this year, they have to retool, and so they're probably going to give it one more go, I would think, to see if they have any kind of mojo going into the playoffs.
Well,
yeah, go ahead, Russ.
No, actually, go ahead, Ant. You can go.
No, with regards to San Jose, again, they're in an interesting spot. Certainly, there's a lot of it's as they've always been, and certainly in recent years, an imbalanced lineup. And the other big concern that they have is whether or not they're going to potentially wear out Martin Jones here down the stretch in net. Because their goaltending situation beyond Jones, Stalock has, you know, was he an 8.84 save percentage, something along those lines?
Yeah.
He has, you know, they're probably going to be in the market for somebody to spell Jones if they even have a hope or a prayer of making any waves in the playoffs without wearing him out. So that's actually one of the things I would probably be looking at there. I mean, they're looking good right now, the Sharks, and they have that feeling of, like you said, of a team that knows that this could be the end run for them. But they have to be certainly careful with regards to one of the things that they do here. But I think they need to get some relief for Martin Jones here down the stretch.
Not to bring everything back to a Maple Leaf, but I mean, I think James Reimer would be a perfect fit as a 1B in San Jose to spell Jones. Or, and if they want to go a backup route, maybe a guy like Chad Johnson with Buffalo, who's a UFA, and you know they had Ullmark up for most of the season, and I think he's probably an NHL goaltender, and they're going to go with Leonard most of the time. So you know maybe that's an option for Doug Wilson.
Maybe. I mean, San Jose still has some prospects they could definitely deal. I kind of wonder if they should, though, or if they should just really roll with the team they have. I kind of think San Jose is just going to look for that last-minute kind of bargain guy that I don't think they're going to go too heavy. But I could be wrong about that. I mean, I could be. But again, a Reimer, you know, Reimer would help them. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Somebody like the Islanders, to me, it's almost like, and Mike's hoping for this, and I guess in a sick, perverse way, I'm hoping for it too, for that Islander-Ranger first-round matchup. I mean, I got the Flyer-Ranger matchup a couple of years ago. That was great. It went 7, right, Ant, if memory serves? And the Rangers,
7-game series, yeah. It was a good
7-game series. Rangers pulled that out, but we loved it, right? It was a great series, and I think we would get the same kind of series out of Islanders-Rangers, but I think Ranger fans wouldn't possibly be as thrilled because the Islanders would be an extremely tough out, and I just happen to think they have to somehow trade for a forward. I don't know. Are they going to swap out Okposo? Probably not. So I go with, I don't know, and I think Ryan Strom could be a guy they put out on the market.
Yeah, because, again, what happened earlier in the season where he got sent down, certainly you have to wonder a little bit about, you know, how they view Strom going forward. And, again, it's interesting to see how kind of far he, you know, in that circumstance, how quickly he sort of fell out of favor with the front office, at least early on in the season. But, yeah, he's a possibility. I think if they want to sort of bring in maybe a veteran, and again, a veteran piece for him, and he might be able to get some additional things because of his relatively young age that another team could bring him on board and, you know, put him in a spot where, you know, he would be in better shape. But, again, it's an interesting spot. They're in very tight. I don't think they'll be able to move Okposo. Certainly Hamonic is going to – I think Hamonic's certainly staying put at this point.
Unless he goes to Winnipeg. That's like the one –
Yeah,
shot.
That's if Winnipeg's willing to make that, do that. Now, that's one of those moves that just, to me, what, you know, would it happen in the heat of a trade deadline, or will you wait until you have a little bit more flexibility potentially in the summer to make that move? I think that's far more likely.
Yeah, I agree. Mike, what do you think? I mean, Strom is 22. He's only got 23 points, but you think maybe – I would think with a change of scenery and some different outlook, they might be able to get a little more out of him. I don't think he's the player that they drafted or they thought they were drafting, but I still think he's a, you know, 15, 18-goal guy and, you know, 50-point guy, and right now he's not anywhere near that.
I don't know why I keep thinking this, but I keep thinking of scenarios of how he gets to Arizona so he plays with his brother Dylan next year. And I was thinking possibly maybe them trading Bodker in a deal, but that would give them another UFA guy who could walk away for nothing. If I was Gart Snow, I would trade Okposo, but he's probably not going to do it. He's not going to trade Franz Nielsen. And, I mean, if I was him, I would be looking to add a defenseman because after Hamonic, Boychuk and Letty, I'm not impressed with their defense at all.
Yeah, this is a make it or break it year for Capuano, as I've been saying all year, but I think it's also a make it or break it year for Gart Snow because, again, Barclays Center, new people, Charles Wong will be out. I don't think Gart Snow will have the same kind of job security that he's had over the years, and they got to get out of the first round. So maybe we do see something a little bit desperate, for lack of a better word. I don't know.
Yeah, he could.
I think it's fun.
He could pull the hockey equivalent of what Alex Anthopoulos did in Toronto. If I know I'm losing my job, I may as well go for it and do something.
Speaking of which, we have the Pittsburgh Penguins, who we know Jim Rutherford will be out of a job and will never even make it to the draft. And he'll be happy with that. Like, that's pretty much the way it's going to go. Now, that team just seems poised. And it's funny because on our XM show tomorrow, we just highlighted a lot of the Pittsburgh Penguins prospects. And they still have some good ones. I mean, the goaltending is the best. And then they still have two or three other guys. But they're getting a little thin. And I would have to think one of the goalies is going to be what would go. And so you have Matt Murray, you have Tristan Jarry, and boy, Mike, what could they get? I mean, they could probably get something out of Toronto.
Yeah, and it's funny that Matt Murray played tonight in Toronto against the Marlies, and there were about seven NHL teams scouting the game, and he was shutting them out 2-0 after two periods and gave up four goals in the third period. So, I don't see them trading Sprong. I mean, they were high on
him. No, no way.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be one of the goaltenders. And honestly, I think Jerry's a good prospect. Murray's a good prospect. They're both drafted high. It's a question of which one the organization likes more. Their statistics are comparable, although, you know, Murray has played a lot more games. I think that's what Rutherford's going to do. To me, he's proved with all the moves that he's made that the future is now with this team. He proved it with the Kessel deal. He proved it with Daly and with Hagelin. I think that's what he's going to do. I think he's going to trade one of the goalies, maybe another draft pick, and get himself another defenseman and maybe another forward. And
I could help this out a little bit, and then we'll see what Ann thinks. We had Randy Sexton on, and he's high on both goalies. The fact is that Tristan Jarry's 20 and Matt Murray's a little older, so Jarry sort of looks up to Murray. So the thinking in my mind was, Ant, that Murray would probably be the one that goes since he's a little bit older because Fleury's not going anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I would lean probably towards Murray in that circumstance between the two. Again, they have to buy a little more time, certainly with regards to Jarry. And again, Murray's probably going to be angling to get, you know, to potentially compete for a higher level job in this case, whereas Jarry, they still got a little bit of time on. I would say also, in addition to what Mike was mentioning, obviously defense is obviously going to be key, but again, the premium on defense is going to be particularly high. I think certainly one of the big things they really need to focus in on the Penguins is getting some help in their bottom six. I think they need to get some additional they could add some additional skill to tougher skill level, you know, tougher guys, but some, you know, players who might come a little more of a potentially a little bit of a skill level and to, you know, intimidate a little bit. And sometimes, again, some of the players that they have in their bottom six aren't exactly you know, striking the fear of God in anybody. So, but a guy potentially, say, if if one of the teams that's out of the race, that's getting close out of the race, if a guy, I think somebody mentioned potentially Chris Neal could be someone that could be, it could be potentially in play. Maybe if Montreal's going into sell mode, if Montreal's going to be in sell mode soon, maybe they go at maybe a guy like I think
Dale Weed, Smith Pelly
possibly as well.
Yeah,
he's another one. I think those are guys that
Jamie McGinn from Buffalo.
McGinn would be definitely a target guy there. I think that actually would be a very good, a particularly good fit for Pittsburgh there. I agree with you, Mike.
Yeah, McGinn's got 14 goals. I mean, I forget, Mike, because I didn't watch the game. How many did Evander Kane score tonight?
I forget, but hey,
he didn't
score
tonight, did he?
No, he didn't. Jamie McGinn scored twice. But the funny thing is, Daniel Winnick is available, and he knows Pittsburgh. I'm sure he can get his apartment from last year back.
Stop.
Good point.
But, you know, the funny thing is there's some teams out there, you know, like Pittsburgh, like Minnesota, like the Islanders. There's some teams that if they get knocked out in the first round again, that it could really change the course of the way that team's going to go for the next couple of years. Like going into the draft, a lot could be blown up. And I think that when we get past this deadline and this season ends, I think trades are really going to heat up for the draft. I can't remember what year it was where I was in a bar, and I think it was the day before the draft, or it was actually after the first day of the draft. I can't remember. Might have been Florida's. And there was just a boatload of trades. Like, they couldn't even keep up. And there were goalies getting traded. I want to say it might have been 2001. Does that sound right, Mike? I mean, remember Trevor Kidd got traded? There were a lot of deals to sort of go through that one time.
Yeah, I'm not placing the year, but I do remember Kidd being moved and a couple other goalies being moved, but I can't remember what year.
And I just sort of get the feeling that this year we're going to see a lot of that because the first round is going to be pretty strong in this draft, and I think there'll be some teams angling to get in there, but I also think there's going to be some teams now with the cap possibly going down just to look to get out from under. What do you think?
I think the thing to look for in the next 10 days is the fact that at the most right now there's going to be about 8 sellers. I mean, you look at most of them being Canadian teams. But, right now, Philadelphia may trade a player or two. But, Montreal, Ottawa, Buffalo, Columbus, and Toronto in the East. Vancouver, Arizona, Winnipeg, Calgary, and Edmonton in the West. Everybody, that's 10. That's 10 teams. And some of those teams don't have UFAs or don't have attractive UFAs that other teams are really going to want. I mean, Columbus has a lot of long-term contracts. And I'm not sure if anybody's really going to want a Scott Hartnell with 3 years left or a Jack Johnson with 2 years left or a year
left.
That's
true. I'm just letting people know we'll probably go a couple of minutes in overtime. So if you want to catch the bleed over, just come back in like 5 minutes. Winnipeg's another thought because they're definitely going to be in sell mode. Michael Hutchinson's a guy that they're really not going to re-sign. There's probably somebody out there that might even want him. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, I, as a stopgap backup goaltender, I mean, he's proved that he could do that. I don't think anybody's going to bite on Pavlik with a, you know, salary, the type of salary that he has, and clearly Hullabuck is their future in goal. So, yeah, I mean, that's a low-impact move that Winnipeg could make to maybe recoup a draft pick or a prospect.
And what about at the draft? And what would you think, like, basically the problem that Winnipeg's going to have, and it's a good problem to have, is they're going to have, you know, Hellebuck, and they're going to have Eric Comrie. Do we think that they're going to hold on to both of these guys, or do we think because Comrie does sort of look like a guy that does have that possible number one goalie moniker in him, that at some point they're going to have to deal one of them too?
Yeah, they may have to face that in the future. I mean, we've seen Connor Hellebuck and what he can do, and certainly he's the guy sort of that we've eyeballed as the guy of the future. But again, Comrie has certainly put himself into the picture here in terms of other NHL teams. And again, they have to sort of make a decision between the two. I think they probably will probably try to recoup on Comrie as much as they can. I think Hellebuck, to me, at least from the outside view, Hellebuck will be the guy they would probably lock in a little bit more on. But it would be interesting if they decided to keep them both and kind of have a 1-1A situation, to have the two of them battle it out at the NHL level. I wouldn't blame them if they want to go that route. Again, the other thing is we're also looking at is other parts as well with the Jets that potentially may be getting moved off as well, possibly their captain, Andrew Ladd, we've talked about.
Right.
You know, by the deadline, what could they get in return for him? Going forward, I'll be very curious to see, you know, especially on a rental situation, what they could recoup and get in terms of assets in that circumstance.
And then last guy that I think of that has probably been getting mentioned to be moved, like, I want to say the last two or three trading deadlines, doesn't get moved. Is this the year Shane Doan gets moved, Mike? What do we think?
I don't think so, because Arizona technically is still in the race. They're only four points behind Nashville and
today,
Colorado.
But we don't know what, you know, by the 29th, what they're going to be like.
Right. If they lose the next five games, then, you know, I mean, I think Bodker's going to go one way or the other if they're in it or if they're not. But since Doan has been there for so long, I mean, and he, you know, is a leader on that team, he has a no move clause. I don't think he's going to waive. If they're still competitive, I don't think he's going to go.
Mike Smith.
Yeah, but yeah.
Well, yeah. Good luck. Good luck for anybody taking that ridiculous contract. I mean, Louis Domingue has played very well for them in his absence.
He has.
Now they lose Anders Lindbach. I mean, Mike Smith could be the most expensive backup in the league.
Yeah.
All right, and the only other team I was looking at that sort of screams that they have to do something is Nashville, even though they're in the wild card spot right now. We keep hearing rumblings that maybe they're going to upgrade on Carter Hutton and maybe get a backup goalie just in case, because to lighten the load down the stretch for things.
Same.
Because right now there's a lot of – Pekka Rinne's playing a lot of games.
Yes, he is, and it's a very similar scenario to San Jose with Martin Jones. I think it's very much a case where it's something that Nashville has to take a look at here. It's been a bit of a certainly some rough moments this year for Pekka. Hasn't quite been up to that, but again, I also think the usage has started to catch up with him from the last few years, and that they knew that they're another team that's probably going to be needing to compete and try to acquire a backup that could potentially, you know, spell Rinne if they're going to be making a postseason run.
All right, guys. Well, we've talked about a lot of teams. We didn't talk about Yuri Hudler in Calgary, Mike, so if you got any last comments about him or anybody else, shoot.
I think Hudler is definitely going to go because Calgary is out of it, and I don't think they're going to sign him. I just have to say, I would expect on the Maple Leafs roster to see probably between 6 and 8 players being moved. I think
6 or 8 players.
Yeah, I mean they'll get players back in these deals, but I think guys like Grabner, Mathias, Brad Boys, I think they're all going to be moved. I don't think Lou is going to hold back. I think they're going to clean out as many players as they can move and get as many assets as they can.
So then they'll have to call up guys from the ECHL unless they're going to upset the Marlies season because they're poised to maybe go the whole way.
Well, guys like Jeremy Moran and Andrew Campbell will come up for a few games, but
right.
I think they're going to, you know, just like the deal that they made with Ottawa, they got three players back. You know, you'll see a lot of Jared Cowan and probably Frankie Corrado playing 25 minutes a night, which I'm sure will please Mike Babcock plenty.
All right, just for the fun of it, and then we're really going to go, and it's probably too much Leafs talk already, but in a month, give me the Leafs top line for the last days of the 2015-16 season.
Well, by that time, Van Riemsdyk will be back, so it'll probably be Van Riemsdyk, Kadri, and Leo Komarov.
Okay. And what would their second line be?
Colin Greening, Mark Arcabello, and Milan Mihalik.
Boy. Aunt Mike Babcock's going to need a lot of hair dye, man. He's going to get some gray hairs.
They'd both travel Mark Arcabello, too, as the second-line center. There's a thought.
That's it. This is what you're looking at when you're a rebuilding team. But as always, Mike, thanks for coming on. Everybody should follow Mike in Buffalo on Twitter, and he's out there and always on a lot of different shows, SoundCloud, and writing on Hockey Buzz about every 10 minutes. So check him out. Check Ant out, and that's going to be it for this show, and we'll catch everybody next time.
Take care, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, and a hash brown, please.
You made it. You have the perfect crispy exterior, and that golden brown color looks great on you. Go on, hash brown. Find your ketchup. You'll make someone very happy.
Crispy golden hash browns from McDonald's. We make breakfast. Served until 10:30 a.m.